Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
And so my next guest is a high-flying Longford woman who's worked with George and Amal Clooney in New York. But it was all the home stuff. Missing a funeral of a loved one made her question her choices and inspired her to write about emigration and guilt. It's a short film. It's really good. It's called Brown Bread. And it's her directorial debut as well. It's been selected for this year's Galway Film Fla. But this woman is also a twice Emmy-nominated journalist. So let's get to know her. Seana Conair, good morning.
Good morning, Oliver. Thank you very much for having me on.
Not at all. I believe you're in Lisbon, are you, right now?
I am, yeah. And it's like 36 degrees. Oh, so, yeah, just sweating here, but all good.
This is where you live?
This is now where I live, yeah. We left New York about a year and a half ago.
Yeah. And who's we, by the way? This is your family?
This is my family. So my husband, Vincent Breslin, and two young boys, Guy and Beau. They're 4 and 5.
Oh, what's it like? Little kids with that heat? Is this something you're used to now in the last year and a bit, or...?
Absolutely not. No. I was looking out the window a moment ago and my husband had them outside spraying them down with factor 50. They're like me. They just, you know, if they look at the sun, they'll be burned. So, it's a lovely life here. It's quite family focused and the kids are already speaking Portuguese.
Really?
It's nice. Yeah. It's all lovely.
One of the hardest languages, fair play to you. Obviously, you're up all go-getters. Come here, let's talk about the story behind the short film Brown Bread, because it's from your own life, isn't it, when you missed a funeral. Tell us what happened.
That's right, Oliver. So I was living in New York at the time, and as you mentioned, working with the wonderful George and Amal Clooney, and I was kind of mid-applying for my green card, so kind of caught in this bureaucratic limbo whereby you're not actually allowed to leave the country when you're going through that process.
Right.
And during that time, my wonderful godmother, Mary MacDonald is her name, and she's also from Longford, passed away, and I wasn't able to leave the country and get back for her funeral. And I think at the time that hit very, very hard, to say the least, and I kind of unearthed something quite profound in me, and it made me kind of step back and question everything. Why had I chosen this path, kind of chasing dreams and putting ambition over family, I guess, in so many ways. And I was just basically trying to kind of reconcile that, you know, one world with another world whereby, you know, I'm in some ways quite traditional and, you know, really steeped in family values, and just not getting back to say goodbye to her or, you know, be with my mum. She's my mum's sister. So it kind of, that whole experience, kind of planted this seed and made me write this and direct this short film. And I feel like it's, you know, having spoken to so many Irish friends who've also left home, and, you know, you don't have to go to London or New York. You might have just, like your producer, moved from Waterford to Dublin. And it feels like a universal theme. Yeah.
But you were very hard on yourself, weren't you, to kind of feel bad about missing the funeral? The green card, you actually have to give up your passport, don't you, for 2 months or so during that process.
Right.
There was no way you could get back.
If I left, I wouldn't get back into the country. And, you know, of course, my kids live there and my husband. So, it was a big deal. My husband now kind of jokes, gosh, some people would just go to therapy, but, you know, you had to go and write and direct a film. So, but this is who I am.
Don't do what I have. Tell us a little bit about Mary, because she worked in the local supermarket at times, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. She, you know, those kind of stalls where they hand out food and you get free samples.
I do.
So, always really, really good when you're in school and in Longford and you can pop out at lunch and get free food. So that was Mary's job. And she also actually wrote notes in the local Longford Leader. And she was just one of those amazing women and a big part of our community, and also like a really big part of my life, certainly. You know, every time I'd either come home from London or New York, it would be part of the routine, either pop out to her kitchen in Clondra and have a cup of tea, or vice versa. She'd come in and meet us. And, you know, she's one of 9 siblings, Paddy Clancy, who also used to work at RTE, a sister of Paddy's, and just one of these amazing women. And I was just very, very upset to have not been able to say goodbye.
They always pick lovely people to do those free samples, don't they, in the supermarkets? So that's, that tells exactly where. Yeah. Your judgment on your high-flying life in New York, because you had wonderful success. You were working for the Clooney's Charity Foundation, is that right? What was your job?
Yeah, that's right, Oliver. So I was their director of comms for 3 years, just under 3 years. So... and the foundation itself kind of focuses on human rights and justice and accountability. So it was a wonderful experience. And in some ways, I guess, you know, being or seeing Hollywood up close kind of gave me a little bit of confidence to go and try and make this short film and kind of step into scripted in a way. And I should mention one of the probably the smartest decision I made in the whole process of making this short film was calling an old time friend. Her name is Julie Ryan. She runs MK1 Studios and calling her. And so Julie read the script and kind of jumped on board straight away and produced the film and surrounded me with quite an extraordinary team. She also works with a real brilliant executive or development exec called Matt Henderson. And the pair of them just kind of, you know, really, really, I don't know, took a jump of faith in me and you know, paired me with like an amazing cinematographer. Carol Tormey is her name. She was part of the Bad Sisters team from Westmeath down the road. You know, just so we had a 3-day shoot in Longford and I was really surrounded by some of the best people in the industry. And, you know, Julie was always saying, you just focus on the creatives. I'll do everything else. And so back to the Clooney thing. So I guess, you know, being part of that world in some ways allowed me kind of step into this new realm and give scripted a go.
But the kind of world that you're in, you the judgment you gave yourself was very tough, wasn't it? Based on, you know, you're doing the high-flying life, but you felt guilty as an immigrant. You felt that you'd chosen a transactional life, I think you've said.
Yeah, a little bit. I think it's, you know, my story really feels like a universal one. You know, you're always kind of trying to reconcile two different lives and trajectories. You know, one is, you know, I love Ireland. I love being Irish. I love Longford. I love my parents. I love my family. Yeah. But I'm also extremely ambitious and, you know, was nearly brought up to chase dreams. And I think it's, yeah, maybe one can be hard on themselves, but it's just trying to reconcile those two worlds. And, you know, I certainly just don't think it's my story. I feel like so many people will relate. And that's exactly why, you know, we've made Brown Bread and really, really hope that it resonates with the masses.
It must have been a very difficult job to leave, having strived so hard to get there. And 3 years, a long time to be doing what was a global job as director of communications. But you got to leave on your own terms.
Yeah, for sure. It was an amazing experience. You know, you find yourself in rooms with all sorts of people that you never think you'd cross paths with. And, you know, I guess, I'm just so grateful for the experience. And, you know, I had an opportunity to make and direct a lot of shorter films while I was there. And George Clooney was my executive producer. And, you know, we would collaborate closely and he would send notes and I would send notes back. And, you know, I think once I kind of saw his belief in me and, you know, what he thought of my films, I was like, okay, right, maybe, you know, I've always had this little creative itch in the back of my mind that I would eventually step into scripted. And so, yeah, it was kind of like the perfect, in some ways, the perfect path. And as you say, I left on my own terms, which is amazing.
Yeah.
We just finished a really big trip with Amal Clooney and Michelle Obama and Melinda Gates in Malawi and South Africa. And I left after that trip kind of on a high and
a nice
also excited
swan song.
Just to step into,
and that was a very important mission, wasn't it?
Yeah, we spent about a week on a kind of mission to eradicate child marriage. Obviously, you're not going to do that in a week, don't get me wrong, but it was months and months and months of work before the trip itself. But it was, it was a great experience. And it was kind of my first time to work with Secret Service and people like that. So it was kind of a wild experience, you know, sweeps of the motorcade every morning, like the security. I've worked with so many security teams in the past, but this was kind of next level White House stuff. So it was, it was an amazing experience. Lots of pressure, lots of stress, lots of hard work, but really fun at the same time.
Very few people get close to Michelle Obama, who is one of the most impressive people in the last 20 years, really, isn't she? Did you get to have a chat with her?
Oh, gosh. Well, I did. And it was a moment where I definitely brought deep shame on my family, I'm sure. I'm not sure if they even know this story, but here we go. Well, I might as well tell the country while I'm at it. But basically, my equivalent on Michelle Obama's team, her director of comms, the very end of the trip, we were kind of having an evening together and she brought me over to Miss Obama and she said, oh, Michelle, I'd really like you to meet Shauna. We've worked really closely on this trip. And, you know, she's great. And, you know, instead of like using my 10 minutes with Michelle Obama, you know, to talk about human rights, Oliver, or like justice and accountability or international law, things I'm really passionate about, I kind of heard myself telling her about the Obamaplex and Offaly, which, by the way, I've never even been to. So,
You talked about Barack Obama Plaza to Michelle Obama in your...
It wasn't great. And she was so polite. She was just kind of smiling and nodding and thinking, who is this very special person? And then after her director of comms kind of took me aside, she's like, what was that you were talking about? And I was like, a gas station. I told her about a gas station in rural Ireland and we couldn't stop laughing. Anyway, Miss Obama is very polite. She entertained my 10 minutes.
Do you know what? You have done this country some amazing service. We thought the Obamas would never know that there was a whole plaza in Monique with the pint that I think Barack drank out of, now empty. So you did a fantastic service. She needed to know about the Moneygall's finest attraction.
Exactly.
And now she does.
Exactly. You know. Yeah, exactly. This is it. Like, you know, so here we are. It's probably good I left actually after that moment. As I said, I left on a high. So there you go.
We don't need human rights. We've enough of them. She needs to know about the supermax you can see from space. And you achieved that very well. Okay. Neatly back to the film. You almost undersold it there, because tell us who is in the cast of Brown Bread.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I can't tell you. I mean, early days when I wrote the script, I approached Fionnuala Flanagan's agent nearly like with a cold email, as in the iconic Fionnuala Flanagan. And Fionnuala graciously and kindly came on board really early days. And it was extraordinary to work with somebody of Fionnuala's caliber. And then we brought on Katie McGrath, who's like this huge deal in America. I mean, she is absolutely phenomenal. She's in Merlin, she's in Jurassic Park, she's from Wicklow, she's recently moved home. She's just this kind of person that has all sorts of shades and layers to her performance. I mean, she really and truly blew everybody away. And she's also, Oliver, the type of person, you know, I caught at the side of my eye, Katie, like carrying the equipment bags at one point.
Really?
This is who she is to work with as a person. She's just incredible and I love her to bits. And then Dermot Crowley, who, it was just so surreal seeing him in my kitchen in Longford. I mean, I spent 10 formative years living in London and watching Luther, where Dermot Crowley starred side by side with Idris Elba.
Oh,
he's phenomenal.
He's in so many things. I mean, he's familiar on the stage circuit here now for years and years.
He's incredible. He's just so kind and he's just so, so wonderful. And truly at the very end of our shoot on the last day and the third day, granted we hadn't slept in about 72 hours, but I just sat there with my monitor watching Katie and Dermot in a particular scene and the tears were just streaming down my face. They're just all three like iconic in their own right. And then we also had a cameo from the wonderful Kevin McGahern, brought on. Yeah, she worked with him on Republic of Telly. And then also from Mary Mahon, who is this lovely friend of my mum's in Longford, who's big in theatre there. And she also has a cameo. So, you know, all in all, I would say there was such a Longford aspect to this film, you know, early days as well. I called the Longford branch of Creative Ireland and they generously jumped on board and helped me with funding. And then I also brought on the wonderful Anne Hurty, who's, you know, this incredible
businesswoman.
Yeah, also from Longford. So I basically pitched her a story about ambitious women from Longford. So she graciously came on board, as did my very, very close friends, Sam Dennigan and Amelia Dennigan. And, you know, together we all kind of made this happen, brought it all to life. And yeah, it was great. And it's amazing to be able to showcase Longford in that way. way. Like, we've shot in gorgeous locations. And yeah, it's just exciting to maybe have some good press about Longford. So that's important to me too.
It is very important. And the caliber of people you get involved in this is unheard of for a short film. So well done. I think it's testament to your years in New York. You obviously have developed this kind of nerve that doesn't exist in a lot of Irish people, to convince people to do things that maybe they don't particularly want to do at the time.
Yeah, I think it's like the hustle mentality. And I think it's, you know, you're selling a story, and I think it's a story so many people relate to. You know, with Julie, she lived in LA for years, so she kind of jumped on board so quickly. And I can't stress how grateful I am to that goddess, you know, that she, when I tell you, in Longford, there was 24 people around me doing all of the heavy lifting, like incredibly talented people. And then, you know, my editor, for example, is John Murphy from Galway, edited Colleen Kuhn. She brought on board the best team. So it was a really amazing, deeply creative experience.
I've got a text here, Shauna, from Liz. It says, I lived abroad for many years and totally get what Shauna Conair is saying. You always feel like you're missing out at home. It hangs over emigrants. This is the theme of Brown Bread, isn't it? How are you with the guilt that haunted you once? Have you reconciled yourself yet?
Well, hello, Liz. Come to Galway. Come and watch the film and let's go for a pint afterwards. But yeah, I think I am. Like, as I joked at the beginning, like, you know, therapy probably would have been a good shout as well. But I just leaned into the creative aspect, and I definitely am fine. You know, I'm sitting in the exact desk where I actually wrote the entire script over the course of about 6 months. And there were definitely moments I just sat here and kind of bawled my eyes out. And, you know, I look at the film now and you know, I know my godmother would be giggling if anything else. She would love all the crack of it, and it's a tribute to her and to the woman that she was.
Well, it's very good. There is someone else asking, did you tell Michelle Obama the great bacon and cabbage at Obama Plaza? But
I haven't even been. This is the ludicrous part of the whole story. Yeah. So no, I didn't. And I'm so sorry that I didn't get to do that.
Well, the Galway Film Fla is the next thing in your sights. It runs from the 8th to the 13th of July, and your film Brown Bread will be on the 9th of July. That's a Wednesday. Tickets available on the Galway Film Fla website. They'll be going to that. And I'm glad we haven't given anything away, because there's a lot happens in just 15 minutes. But Shauna Conair, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. Good luck with continued filmmaking, I presume. And good luck with the heat.
Yes. Yeah, well, this is it. With this, somebody, I should tell you, Oliver, somebody, a close friend who was nominated for an Oscar years ago for a brilliant Syrian film called For Sama, I called him one day and he said, don't dare create anything big. Start with a short and then you get to do your passion project. So I'm lucky now that I'm working with Julie at MK1 again and Matt, and we're developing a prestige drama, a little more political and pointed and kind of drawing on all sorts of experiences we've had over the last 15 years.
So, this is everything you've done coming together in one project, basically.
Exactly.
Chat to us about that when it happens. Shauna Conair, good morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Email oliver@rte.ie.